Surveillance cameras have been used in public spaces for over 40 years now, and despite the usual arguments about privacy, they've become more and more sophisticated and essential to police and intelligence operations. Up till now, though, the only way to get useful information from them is after the fact. But surveillance is evolving, and in ways that I never anticipated. Not only can they record and detect tone of voice now, but some of them are being developed to detect abnormal movements in people, whether they're alone or in a crowd.
My name is Dario Gavrila. I'm with the...
Dario works in Germany and also at the University of Amsterdam, developing an intelligence surveillance system for a project called Automatic Detection of Abnormal Behaviour and Threats in Crowded Spaces. It's not exactly catchy, but it's pretty clear what they're trying to do.
Studies have shown that human operators can only watch up to a dozen cameras and can do so only for a limited time, so about 40 minutes, 1 hour. Then afterwards, certain video blindness set in. So it's no wonder that important incidents are actually not being watched. There have been several highly publicized instances of violence, let's say, in metro stations. 2 weeks ago in Berlin, there was an incident where some youths assaulted a traveler and just beat him senselessly. And the person actually got into hospital and into coma. And the thing was that this assault happened for a prolonged period, so there were several minutes. And there were bystanders, but they were not intervening. And so at the end, you got some really beautiful video footage, but it didn't help because there was nobody to actually react.
Dario and his team are trying to create a system that will filter through camera footage as things happen and alert operators when a potentially dangerous situation is unfolding. It's a system that uses both video and audio to detect abnormal behaviour, specifically signs of human aggression.
In the video side, it's pretty much a fast movement of the limbs, of the hands, of the legs. And on the audio side, you're considering things like the volume, you're considering the pitch of a tone, and the way the energy is distributed over the frequencies.
Producer Anik C dropped in to see how it works, and Dario showed her a video of a couple of scenes that they'd staged at a railway station in order to train the system to distinguish between normal behaviour and aggression.
What you see here is the scene on the Amsterdam-Amstel train station. You hear a train coming by, and there are some people walking in the background, so that's a very normal day on the train station platform. And these two people there that you hear shouting, these are fans of a football club, and they just probably won their game. They're in a good mood. And then two other supporters show up from the opposing team. And after a short period of mutual provocation, where there's a lot of verbal aggression back and forth, and there are some real punches. There's a big punch. There's a yell. So there's a lot of movement, a lot of activity. And you can see here the output of the system is a slider, which goes from the green, where there's normal activity, to the red. And meanwhile, we are in the dark red area. So at this point, the system would actually alert the operator, and he or she would actually call the police.
Yeah. There are actually three sliders. There's one for verbal aggression and one for motion intensity, and
that's
then
right,
sort of combination of the overall aggression on a scale of 0 to 100?
Yes, that's right. And if there are people in a normal activity, that would be around 20 to 30 on this scale, and let's say like extreme aggression would be about 90 or even 100. But I also want to show you an example where the system actually has problems. So the scene is actually very similar to what we heard earlier. But the difference with the previous scene is that now two other people join in, football supporters. But they are from the same team, and actually they're having a great time. And there's a lot of waving, right? There is a lot of chanting. And you see the system actually is very scared about this scene because there's a lot of motion, so the video side says, whoa, that could be very aggressive. On the audio side, there's a lot of yelling. And the system now would call the police, so to speak, well, call the operator. So the system is still rather dumb in some sense.
So it's far from perfect at the moment. But at least Daria's system doesn't use voice or facial recognition, so everyone remains anonymous.
So it's not like a human eye that has a lot of bias and actually might track people in surveillance cameras at whim. Maybe he's bored or maybe, you know, whatever. He zooms in and starts tracking people at whim. So this is an actually rather objective system that doesn't care where you're from or who you are. It's everything is anonymous. It just kind of on a lookout for some particular behavior. So in a sense, it's perhaps less infringing on privacy than a human eye would do.
But it does raise the question, why do we need this?
One of the major bottlenecks currently of computers is that they cannot perceive their environment. They are blind and deaf. And that's why we still need a human operator in a control room to actually still watch where to see, okay, well, this is abnormal but totally acceptable.
Okay, and what context would this system be used in? Where would it be used and by whom?
It could be train stations or it could be government buildings, but it could be also demonstrations outside. And where there are a lot of people, and that's where it's supposed to be working.
I'm imagining that a lot of people look at this technology on a quite a surface level and think, oh my God, Big Brother, how can you ensure that innocent people won't be targeted or profiled or that kind of stuff? Can you defend it?
Well, I think that technology will always be used in two ways, in a positive, constructive way and in a rather negative way. And, you know, I personally, I'd like to work on topics that I say, okay, I myself would appreciate such system. So that means that I'm personally not very interested in designing systems that track people across the street, across the whole city. From hour to hour, because I think that is an infringement of privacy. But here we have a system that is rather local in time and space. So I can imagine that if I'm traveling late or somebody else is traveling late at night and at a deserted train station and is being assaulted or being intimidated by others, that this is a really bad thing. And I believe that these systems can help.
Dario Gavrila in Amsterdam. Do you see this as a benefit for your security? Or are you worried that you'll get picked up for a bout of impromptu street dancing? Let us know your thoughts. Go to rnw.nl and follow the link to Earthbeat. Or go to our Facebook site, Earthbeat RNW, and have your say there.